It was because of Him that we've been set free. What we were set free was from the bondage of a dead nature, an internal man that could not stop sinning. It could not come to God of itself. I could not get to You, but You came to me. You crossed that spiritual void of darkness and offered to me the blood of Jesus. And Father, I thank You. The moment that I received that blood as my propitiation, that something changed. And Father, I thank You that we've been set free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody else could do it. Only the Son could do it. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And He had to be God in the flesh. But He also had to be man. In Him was life. That's the God kind of life. But He had to be God also. He had to be God also. But what did He say? In the beginning was the Logos. But it says the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim. And that's pluralistic in the Hebrew. It has a pluralistic bent to it. It doesn't mean there's three gods. It just means there's one in essence with three expressions of His person. The first one that He mentions there in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with Elohim. And then this is the part. The Logos was Elohim. Hallelujah.
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 Yes.
He had.
Yes.
And the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the first begotten. Or the only begotten then. He was the first begotten then. But guess what? He's begotten many sons and daughters since then.
Hallelujah.
And you and I are one of them. Hallelujah. So when He says He set us free, the cross set us free. Every man that comes to it is free indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I thought I was free when we had a good service. Oh, no, you were free way before that. Jesus said when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, He defined Him. He said the Comforter, and then He said, okay, you don't know who I'm talking about. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the third member of this expression of Elohim. He said when He comes, He will do three things. He will convince. He says reprove. I like the King James, it says reprove. It just means to show a better way. He said He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Sin, righteousness, of judgment. He's got three assignments when He comes. Besides for being our Comforter, He will reprove. He'll convince otherwise, is what He says. The world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He said, of sin because they believe not on Me. In other words, they've got to be convinced. They've got to be convinced that, hey, I thought I was an all right guy until the Holy Spirit come to me and showed me, hey, wait a minute. Without a Savior, you're not going to make it. At the end, everybody doesn't just wind up in one good place. There has to be decisions along the way. And He said one of the things He will reprove the world of, He will convince them of. Jesus said, I am the way. So He'll come and He'll of sin, in essence, say, look, you're not all right. You're not all right, but I'm not saying you're not all right so I can leave you like that. I want to show you the righteousness, the true righteousness of God. His name is Jesus. And He'll convince the world of sin. He won't leave them in hanging like, oh my God, I feel desperate. I want to kill myself. I'm a horrible person. I can't make it to heaven. No. He said of righteousness, the righteousness was this, because I go away to the Father and you see Me no more. Now what does that mean? It means simply this. His ascension. They looked up and they saw Him ascending. He's no more on this planet. Well, only one man, only one was ever worthy to ascend and sit down right next to the mighty Jehovah. And he said, they'll see me no more. And the Holy Spirit will say, look, yes, you need a Savior, but this is the one. He's ascended to the right hand. You can't find him on the planet. Why? Because he was worthy of ascending to the right hand of the Father. And he says he'll convince them of righteousness and of judgment. And of judgment? Because the prince of this world is cast out. What he was saying is he'll come to you and say, hey, look, you need a Savior. Do you know that? Well, I didn't before you came. Okay, you do. You're not so great as you thought. You need one. Well, what do I do about this? Well, his name is Jesus. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. Then after you get born again, he said this. He's cast down this wicked one who had judgment over all the world. He'll reprove the world of judgment. In other words, he'll convince them once they come in and understand this. The wicked one has been cast down. In other words, there's a life of dominion on the other side of the cross. You can walk free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can walk. He said, he, the Son, is set free. Well, Pastor, you just don't know. Last week when I blew it, the reason why I missed church was because went out and just tied one on. And the pressure was just so great. I know he'll forgive me. Yeah, that's not a discussion. But the prince of this world has been cast down through judgment of the cross. And you don't have to. You don't have to. No, it felt like no. You don't have to. You don't have to. Well, I got mad the other day and just cussed somebody up one side and down the other. Have you been born again? Yes. The prince of this world's been cast out. You've been born again. Judgment has come. He doesn't have the power to rule over you. He whom the Son has set free. Oh, I'm free. I'm free. No, that's not talking about this service. That's talking about the guy that didn't come to church. He's free.
Yes.
He's free. Well, I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. You are free. Hallelujah. You've been born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guess what? We're going to take all that right into revival with us. Because we know. We know. Glory. You wonder what David would be like on this side of the cross. And he can't. He's Marty said he'd be like me. Amen, Marty. I bet when Jesus emptied out Abraham's bosom after the cross, I bet David was like, hey, wait a minute. I got to throw one more on here. Just the love of God that he had for the commandments and the place of worship that he'd come to. David's tabernacle he put right outside of the city. And when the Philistines held the ark for a time and it was held up in a man's house, Obed-Edom, and he was extremely blessed through those months. And then when they went and got it, you know, David, when he watched it come in, this was God to him. And he didn't have any thought of show. He wasn't trying to show off his masculinity. He began to dance. Michael, his first wife, was standing probably. She was at where she could look down into the streets, probably standing from the palace. It was Saul's daughter that Saul had given way back before Saul died with Jonathan. And David began to dance just in front of the ark. And he danced himself down to his underwear. The Bible says Michael despised him because of her embarrassment, in essence. Her womb was shut up from that point on. It's a great story, but in essence, it's the flesh always wanting to persecute the spirit. He said, I'm your wife. You exposed yourself. Well, he's in his underwear, but he shouldn't have got, you know, normally men don't dance in the street in their underwear. But he didn't even, he was so, the Holy Ghost come on him. He's so happy God's back in Jerusalem. And he danced and he danced and he danced and he danced himself right out of his robe. She despised him. But he didn't know nothing else but God's in the house. Hey, he's worth our worship. Big David here, he told me if my knees would hold out, I think I'd just do some kicking up in the air and run around here a little bit. I said, man, it's good to know it's in there, though. A few years ago, it was just a good old Baptist boy. And we messed him up, got him filled with the Holy Ghost, and now he's wanting to kick up some dust. Hallelujah. I have a most distinct privilege this morning. That is to dedicate a little one. Hallelujah. One thing I found out a few years ago in meditation and in the Word is that for a long time I thought I had a, you know, that I could dedicate. And I can. Then again, I can't. I found out that I think it really stuck to me, or it hit me when a lot of people would come through. A lot of people want to use a clergy, and that's okay. I appreciate their reverence for God. Like, we'd rather have you marry us than the guy on the courthouse steps. But that's why a long time ago, several years ago, I said to this congregation, I said, look, God's called me to do what I'm doing, pursue Him in prayer and spend long hours each week in prayer. I'm sorry, I don't have time for marriage counseling, but I can marry people. But here's the prerequisite. Both husband and wife to be have to be here. Either coming here, or if they come in and say, we want to get married, then they have to be here at least 3 months. And otherwise, I can't do it. Because otherwise, they can get their counseling. Well, I found a lot of people come through and they wanted babies dedicated, and they wanted somebody's hands laid on them. And I did that for 15 years. Because I thought like this, and it partially is true. Even if they're not going to serve God, my hands will make a difference. The strength in my hands spiritually will make a difference. Well, that's true to a degree. But then I went back and I found out what Hannah, when she went in and she said, okay, I'm barren, but God, I promise you, if you'll give me a child, if you'll give me a male child, I promise you I'll raise him in the house of God. And God gave her that child, and it was the prophet Samuel. She took him to the priest. Man, this, I can't hardly imagine this. She meant business. My little Josiah, he's a little guy. I can't imagine leading him up to the priest and saying, here, you take him and raise him in the house of God. And that's what she did. She gave him to the Lord. He was raised under that priest at the time. Well, when Jesus was dedicated, in other words, he was circumcised at 8 days old, and then he was brought into the temple, and they lifted him up, dedicated him back to Jehovah. So he was consecrated properly as a young Jewish man, young Jewish boy, child. But I didn't understand this until I got into Scripture, is that I cannot be the one who truly dedicates him. Because dedication means this: you're going to raise them in an atmosphere that is conducive to them following God. So if I have a couple come in here, neither one of them's in church, and they don't even have a grandma that's in church, will you pray? I'll do what I do for everybody. I'll pray that God will guide their life. And I'll lay a temporary, but can I dedicate him? No, because if you don't bring your child to church, no matter what any preacher does for you, they probably will not follow God later on, because they'll just follow your example. Now, you can step in and change that by going back under God and calling them back in. But no preacher can do that for you. You've got to do it yourself. So I started saying, okay, I said to the couples, okay, are you making a commitment? You don't have to do this, but you don't have to ask me to dedicate them either. Will you serve God and will you follow them and bring them up in the house of God? In other words, you can't start when they're 18 because then they'll say, you know what? Forget you. I'll whip you, Daddy. And I ain't going. You got to start now. And the other thing, too, that I explain is this. She wants me. This is Miss Aubrey Faith Siegel. And she's looking at her. She does want me. I gotta, and I want her, so I'll have to step over here. Even though I love her with all my heart, and at this point, after 4 months, I would die for her, as well as any of her grandparents would. But our prayer today, our prayer today will do this. It will dedicate her to God. So that in the moment in time when she reaches accountability, she still got to make her own decision. Some religions provide for the fact if you sprinkle or lay hands on them, that gives them an eternal security. Listen, Jesus said every man must be born again. In other words, every man must come to the conclusion that he is who he says he is. And they've got to say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and I receive your sacrifice. Now, I'll know this. At an early age, she'll do that. She'll do that. And little ones, we do know by the word. If they expire here before that age, they go to heaven. They do. But the one that we'll dedicate this morning, she'll grow up in our midst. So I'm going to ask Aubrey to come. She's talking. She's being a part of it. And Dad and Mom. And I am so, so elated to have Mike's mom and dad in the house, Marty and Judy Siegel. So why don't all you guys come? And would you, Mike, hold up this angel? And let me steal her from you for just a minute. Look at that. Obster. Look at her. Obster. Obster. Look at Papa. Look. What you doing, baby? Hi, baby. Obster. All right. We're going to lay our hands on her and dedicate her up to God. This mighty God, Jehovah, that has sent his son, Jesus Christ. He's going to watch over all the days of her life. No harm, no fear, no destruction. She'll grow up and to be a beautiful young lady. She'll carry the Siegel name proudly. And you'll get to be a part of that this morning, because she'll grow up in this church and be around you guys. And when she's 10 or 12, she doesn't need to see you walking out of a local bar somewhere. Do I need Miss Callie up here? So you have a part in the dedication. So you're committed to that. Would you please arise and stand with us, please? We're going to dedicate her. And would you stretch your faith this way and pray? This is a tremendous miracle of God. For years, Amber was bleeding. And she got her wish. Mike, you're a godsend. And then you guys must have been a godsend. All right, let's pray. At It's all right. If you guys want to touch too, yeah, that would be great. Wonderful. This is how they do it in the Old Testament. Father, in Jesus' name, we dedicate, consecrate, and commit to you the life of Aubrey Faith Siegel. In the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, all the days of her life that she will follow you, she'll be protected from all evil. No harm will come to her, that she'll grow strong. No disease will touch her body. And Lord God, that her spirit might be born of you at an early age. And we commit her to her now and give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. All right. You may be seated. Paul said that whatsoever state he was in, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, no, whatever condition life had to offer, he had learned wherewith to be content. He said, I am instructed of how to be full and how to suffer need. In other words, if they find you a fair weather friend or a fair weather Christian, now listen. When I get the report, okay, this is how much came in this week. I can tell you something about the flesh. When it's the big ones, it's just real easy. I don't know why. It's just easy for the flesh just to say, glory to God, hallelujah. It's met. But I found out something about the flesh too. When those other reports come in and it's like, oops. Oops. The flesh also has a want-to reaction. It wants to go, oh no, how is it going to work out? Listen, but I found out something greater a good while ago. A good while ago, I found out what Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And you know what I found out? This is what I found out a good while ago. When the good report comes in and I lift my hands and I just worship Him and say, thank you, God. My God, what a blessing. Do you know that it feels sweeter? The wine tastes sweeter. The praise seems deeper. And my heart seems to have gone to another place in Him. When I know that in earlier times, or earlier weeks, when reports weren't so good, that I just absolutely stepped over into that place, not put on a facade, but put on an absolute, this is who I am in Christ. In the good times, the bad times, Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to abase. In other words, I know how to give Him as much of me in absolute. I'm not talking about put on worship. I'm talking about thankfulness. Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory and all the absolute because you are still who you say you are. And I rejoice and I will always continue to rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when you do that, when it's not, then that makes, when it is, all the much sweeter. Because then you can look back and say, wait, am I just a fair weather? Do I get excited and want to say, ooh, God is good all the time, when it's there? Or have I come to a place of true character? And true character says this, I can look at you with the same absolute kind of resolve and say to you, my God, if you was talking to that person who had come to that place, you'd think the guy was ready to make a $1 million contribution. And you didn't even know that he was putting things together by his confession in the background. And if he didn't let you know, my God. That's the kind of fella Like Paul said, I have learned wherewith to be content in all things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, that song's right. I have learned. We've all learned. And we are learning. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Well, I think for sure that God's going to get His way around here and we're going to have an absolute outpouring. Isn't that right? An absolute outpouring. You know what? You get to be a major part of it. Because He's working things in your life right now that you don't even know about. See, I never... some of you might. I like the way old Dad Hagin used to say it. He said, you know, if God gave you a dollar bill that come from heaven, I mean, if it came from heaven, God would be in contempt. Because He's fraudulent. God's up there counterfeiting money. He said money's made down here. And money comes through not angels, but people. And God sent a sack full of money by an angel right straight from heaven to my house. Well, why won't He do it for me? How'd you do that? You cross your legs and spit in the sand, do a little gyration, and then God came? Come on. He's still the same God. And if He's going to get it over to you, it's going to be through natural means, but it's going to be a supernatural endowment. It's a favor, a blessing. You got exalted. Somebody worked a business deal and you didn't even know it. And you said, my God, God was in this the whole time. And I didn't know how He did it. Guess what? I'm happy and am getting happier over watching what God's going to do in your life. Because if He gets it over here to us on this end, He had to come through you. And if He had to come through you, some of you are saying, boy, if He's going to come through me, He's going to have to do a work. Well, guess what? He's working on it. He's working on it. He's working on it. He's working on it. Glory to God. I need some anointed hands laid on some anointed baskets. Why don't you just ask Him what He'd have you to give this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry we don't accept American Express, MasterCard, Discovery. There's no debit machines. And you know, they say that some churches have started putting cash debit machines. Man. Or credit cards. They do. Can you imagine me having a couple ushers come through here with those little machines and swipe your credit card and then charging you interest on what you gave? Now, I pray in tongues, so I'll never get there. But if I did, I'd want a whole bunch of you men to just take me out. Pastor, let's ride out in the grove. We got some deer we want to show you out there. Oh, good. And then about two or three of you hold me and the other one just beat me down like there was no tomorrow and say, you've lost all sense of reality. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Worship is something, or giving is worship. You've got to want to, and you've got to give it freely. Hallelujah. So why don't you just pray? Father, we thank You that Immokalee is blessed, and we're filled with a great, they're filled with a great influx. Lord, You, my God, the one that I know will meet all of their needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I give You all the praise. I give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. As Matt gives us something else. And, you know, if you wanted to just do a little bit more flirting with fellowship, you could do that. Hallelujah. So, let's see. I'm going to have one of these guys here pray over this. And let's see. Okay, Marty's going to pray. Well, I want to do this again next week. Just these two guys. Remind me which one prayed next week. Because I compare who got the biggest. Is that not right? Because I was going to switch it off the following week. It was I go with a winner every time. Oh, Marty. Okay.
Father, we thank you.
No pressure. There's no. He's already started.
People are hanging around Otto. Trying not to walk in a fence here.
We learn. Everything we do around here is learning. It's a learning curve. Yeah. Stand over closer to it, Marty, because the anointing won't go that far. It will for some people, but I mean. I don't.
Hallelujah. All joking aside, Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for the abundance that you provided. And we're very careful as your children to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks. That was a good one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It amazes me what people's definition of who they think God is. And their seriousness of, well, he's serious about you getting to heaven. But he, if you don't think he's, honestly, without any kind of, ambitious, like you're watching me, I just, sometimes in some of the things he says to me, it's just flat out, it's comical. Somebody, I'm glad that people aren't going. A lot of times I like to sit out there in that place that's fenced. I can look up and just pray and pray and pray. And I'll be praying in tongues for a long time, worship, and it'll come on me. And then he'll start talking. And it's like I'm talking back to somebody. But if somebody walked by, they'd think, who's in there? Because they're. And then the baker, here's where they baker at you. They hear me laughing in there and saying, oh, I never heard you say anything like that before. Father, you're just funny. He'll talk to you just like that. And if you still know him as a thee and a thou and a thus God, you need to allow him to pull some of the starch out. Because he's a daddy. Hallelujah. I was contemplating if I could say this, and he said I could. I was having Pastor Dave called me recently, just this past week. And then he had to call me back because something connected in him, and he said, I want you to know this. And he called me, he called me twice in a day, and I thought, man, what are you trying to bless me too much here? And I got to go to sleep on this because it was just before I was going to bed, and he had to call back. He said, but this is a compliment for you. He said, you know that one service that I kept saying, I've never been in a service like this. He said, I said it a few times. He said, I kept saying, I've never been in a service like this. And he said, you know, I don't just say that. And of course, he's been around in a good way. 40 years in ministry. And he said, I kept in that service. He said, it was kind of strange to me because he said, I was getting like something back on me, like some kind of strange blessing. And I couldn't, you know, for those of you that, I don't know how to explain it. All I know is the epitome of the Spirit is exemplified when you're under the anointing. Because everything slows down. It's just like they say that a good pro football quarterback, when he gets to be really doing what he's doing, the whole field slows down, even though everything's going real fast. So a lot of times while I'm talking to you, like I'm talking to you right now, I'm talking to him on the inside. And how that happens, I don't know. But your spirit is so diverse, everything in the natural slows down because it's in another realm. Well, he said, I was getting so blessed. And he goes, I didn't even know what is this? He goes, what is this unusual kind of euphoria, in essence, in the spirit that I'm being lifted up. And he goes, I kept saying, I've never been in a service like this. And he said, I got to contemplating on it. And he was one place in contemplation. And that's when he called me back. He said, I wanted to let you know. Now, this is, he said different things. But I'm going to boil it down concise and give you the essence of it. He said the reason why that he'd experienced something that he had never experienced and that there was such a blessing on him is that he said the place that we had come to in this house and giving ourselves over to worship had so created an atmosphere that even while he was ministering, that atmosphere was ministering back to him. And he said it was a very unusual place. So I say that to you and to me. Whatever we've gained, let's not stop. Hallelujah. Let's not stop. Let's keep going forward. And the devil will tell you a lot of times, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. You're not accomplishing anything. Your presence is not accomplishing anything. Your worship is not accomplishing anything. And he's a big fat liar. He's a big fat liar. These songs of worship that we lift our hands and magnify Him to, and we give ourselves over without words up here on a screen. There's nothing really wrong with that. The only thing is worship, true worship, comes right out of your spirit. I don't know 90% of the songs that I ask Matt to play. He's under the anointing and he just kind of feels his way from moment to moment. And I suggest something and he picks it up in the spirit. But none of that really matters word-wise. It does when the Holy Spirit pulls one part of it up and ministers to your spirit. But here's the thing. Your spirit has the DNA. It has the DNA in it just to sit and to worship God without anything around it. Without any stimulation around it. But it also coincides with the Holy Spirit, and there's something absolutely divine and absolutely spiritual by the Holy Ghost when sound is also provided around it. David prophesied by the Holy Ghost. He said, let the guitars, let the cymbals, let the drums, let all these things begin to crescendo and lift up something unto God. He is a worshiper. Listen, we're going someplace. And all this is ordained and all of it's orchestrated. And what we're looking for is the souls of men. We're not looking to build a kingdom here. We're looking to build something where people can come in. And see, here's something that the mind just can't. I told Dave about our sister that stood up here and testified. Was that your grandfather or your dad? Was your dad? Yeah. Okay, so it was even closer. I said, you know, you prayed, or there was a prayer line, and he came forward. He had 3 hernias. And then he went back like the following week or so, and all 3 of them under x-ray had disappeared. Isn't that amazing? Now, the doctors, now I'm not against doctors. I'm glad we got them. The OBS, she feels real safe. Her daddy's a fireman. Her mom's a nurse. And then she's dedicated to Christ. She's about the safest person I know of. But the doctors, logically, what do you do with that? It's like, I promise they were, it was there. I mean, where did it go? You know, your mind has a problem with miracles because it doesn't know what to do with it. And even when you're watching things, like somebody that I called over in LaBelle and they couldn't make it, and they called last week and apologized that they couldn't. And I said, oh man, it was good. And I said, I wasn't trying to make them feel bad about not making it. I said, but man, we had about, as Dave said, maybe 30 people filled with the Holy Ghost, 50 or so healed. But I said that what was so amazing, and then Marty said, you know, because he's working the sound booth, and I mean, I don't know how many arms and legs actually grew out that you watched. Now, the funnest if I can say it that way, the funnest night for me was when Big Dietrich and all those guys, and I don't know, to start with they weren't, and then I think they kind of gathered each other up, and they all got right here, and Dave was right down here, and there was, thank God that people were in that condition, but some of probably, I'd say some of the ones that needed it the most were right in front of their eyes, so that when they lifted their hands, it was like, you know, like this. And I don't know where God gets that extra flesh at. It's amazing. But Marty said you could see at different times the adjustment, like, you know how like a mole will go underground and you can't see the mole, but you can see the ground as it's moving, or you can imagine that, you know, like something burrowing. And it's like from even back there under the clothes, you could see, and these football players, and there was like four or five of them all huddled up, and they were like, watch this. And man, it was so funny because I'd look at their eyes, especially on those ones where just at the name of Jesus, that arm would just grow right out, even with the other one. And then the feet and the legs and the people's backs would begin to manifest under the power of that name. And here's something, you can't make that happen. I mean, there was no hand gyrations or no, let's put a cloth and then we'll take the cloth back. Oh, it's longer now. No, it was right in front of our eyes. And he had nothing on his, he had no long sleeves. There was no cards underneath the sleeves. Just putting his hands right there, and their hands like this. And sometimes he'd say, I can't make it go any higher, Jesus. And it would just grow right out. And you know, the legs the same way. And all those football players are watching that. See, we're after the souls of men. Now, where we want them at first is whether or not they can conceive a miracle. That's okay. We want them to understand that Jesus loved them enough to go to the cross. And if he did, no matter what you've ever done, Jesus Christ paid the price for it. And he paid the price. He's the propitiation for our sins. And the Bible says we sin not. In other words, you don't deliberately sin after you meet Jesus. But if you do sin, he becomes the propitiation, or we are washed or cleansed. If any man does sin, then we have this one that we can go to. Do you know that there's a doctrine out? It's not old. I mean, it's not new. It is always been around. It's the same old, but being nice and not naming names that are prevalent is that once you get born again, that's it. That finalized it. It did finalize it. You've been born again. But John says if you do sin, we have an advocate. Well, then you need to go get with your advocate. But there are those who believe that once you sin, you don't even have to say, I'm sorry anymore. You don't have to get under any kind of blood because you were once under the blood. And all that is just eternal security. Like, okay, if I do commit adultery on her, it doesn't really matter. Because he said he'd shoot me. I think he said, oh, she'd shoot me. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. Oh, it does matter. Now, you can still be born again, but you need to repent for that thing. And then you don't need to carry that attitude like, I can just do this for the next 20 years and it really don't matter. Then you might wind up someplace that I won't be. Because I'm not going there. But isn't it great that we do have an advocate with the Father? So we can teach men this. You can be born again. And here's the power of it. We're going to bring them in here by the grace of God and say, look, I theoretically, how could this be born of a virgin? Listen, come on. You think it's that hard? I mean, man and his wisdom and where man has come to. Now we can take a one individual We can take a one individual sheep and make another one without the other part coming to help make that. We can just take the DNA and make two of one without somebody else that normally need to be a part of that. You don't think God couldn't do the same? You don't think that when the Holy Spirit came that He didn't just touch one of those, you know, every one of you ladies are born with a certain amount of eggs in your ovaries until a certain age. He just touched one of them and the cellular reproduction began. This man is born of a virgin. Now, she didn't die a virgin. Some religions will tell you that she died as a virgin. She didn't die as a virgin. She died as a mama, just like the rest of you that's had kids. But up until her firstborn, a miracle was conceived. And He's the first one that broke the womb. And He was God, and He was man. And we're going to bring people in here and say, sit them down and say, look, I know that they invited you and you came because they promised you that they would take you out for lunch afterwards. No, now listen, don't be scared. We're not going to jerk you up. You don't have to run. You don't have to dance. And you don't have to fall out in the spirit. And you don't. If these tongues bother you, don't worry about it. No devil's going to get on you. This is all a good, peaceable. There's no snakes up there behind the pulpit. Nobody's going to do anything stupid. If anybody pulls out a snake, I'm getting out of here before you do. Okay? I will be gone. And you can have the house. But in a sensible way, they can sit down and say, wait a minute. When they do see, and what we're believing God for, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dumb speaking, the dead even being raised. Like, you go to, you meet the ambulance there and they just said, we just shocked them for the last time. Can I have just 1 minute? Yes. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And the report comes back. They come into church and they sit and say, yes, I was being drawn towards a bright light. Hallelujah. Thousands and thousands will be born again in this revival. Hallelujah. And guess what? He wants me to tell you, don't worry, your finances are going to be more than all right. Hallelujah. No chapter 11s, 13s, 14s, or 15s. He's going to work you through it. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Hallelujah. Lights stay on. Yes. Food fills a cabinet. The promotion. See what? Now here's what you do. Some of you, listen. There's a gospel entrepreneur, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. There's an absolutely, we call them a gospel entrepreneur. In other words, God gives them, let's say, an anointing, an ingenious type thought process that says, okay, I want to pursue this. It's not that, it's not even that they love the actual turn, the money when it comes in as much as they do the hunt. It's like a shark in the water. It's just like they enjoy the hunt. They enjoy the process. They enjoy the process. They've got a call on their life to make money for the kingdom. One day, well, we will. We'll always. I started to say something that God said no. We'll always have the opportunity for a giving because everybody needs to give because it's worship. But whether this ever is taken up or not, because the way that it's supposed to be done, prototype-wise, is just like Jesus. Now, just understand that Jesus had people given to His ministry, too. And it says so. I mean, somebody was writing Him checks. Not per se, but giving Him money. But his anointing was so strong that the people were doing it so strong in the background. And see, the day will come in this great operation that we have, where we're headed, is that, what do you want to call it, sponsorship? You want to give it? That's fine. There's enough people with the means that whether or not this is ever happening is that it's so overloaded by what's going on in the background and people that aren't saying anything. He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that it's so provided for. Now, we've got men and women that are headed towards that place and people that will bring in here. So that, oh, Pastor, you forgot the offering. Oh man, you forgot it? That should have been done for those who wanted to worship. It's not because you need it. That's where we're supposed to be headed. Because, and really, some of the best offerings we've ever had is when people, there wasn't no offering taken up. It was in the middle of the week or whatever. Somebody sent one in or stopped by or just said, here, this is supposed to go to the church. But whether or not you're in that call or not, here's how you get past those hard times. This is the last. The last can of beans in the cupboard. And the milk jug is down to, it's only got a quarter, a quart. And the Captain Crunch is almost gone. And in 72 hours, the lights go off. And you will have candlelight services. And who they thought that was supposed to send it in, you called them twice, three times, four. And they said, we're writing it out today. I'm telling the comptroller, write it out. And now you're thinking, that guy is the biggest liar. This is it. Well, what you need to do is, now this is how. The Bible says that he becomes very close to the humble and the contrite. Now, you got two ways to do this. You can look at that and say, that's it. See, some people said, I've never really went through that part. But listen, if you're on this trail, you've went through a lot of other things. And I applaud you. But if this is your plight right now or any time, you can throw this down and cuss the cat and walk out and just be mad at God. Say, well, mad at God, is he going to... No, God, a lot of people are mad at God that he don't do anything about. He just loves them. He knows if you're mad at him or accusing him, like you could do something about this and you're not. Now listen, he's doing everything he can until you give him the permission to do something different. But you put this up, you find a private place, you just put it up on a shelf somewhere. And then you bow a knee. I'm not going to worship beanie weenies. No way. I'll tell you something, Father. You don't have to go into, it tickles me too. Like I said, when people start describing to God, in 72 hours they're going to turn it off. And then, you know, this is the last one I got. Okay, he knew all that. Okay. Pray like the Word. But he loves, the Bible says he's near to the contrite of heart. And he gives grace. He gives grace to the thankful. So here's how you do it. You exaggeratively, like this isn't really in you, but yet it's faith because you know that you're going to give him something that he really wants. Father, I want to praise you. Ooh, I want to thank you with all of my heart and my soul and my mind, with everything, right down to the toenails. I want to give you all the praise and glory for this last can of Beanie Weenies. I want to praise you. I want to thank you. I want to give you all the glory. Father, you're not the angels in heaven are not going to get, they're not going to hear my mouth speak any lack. Because you're my provider. I want to worship you and glorify you and thank you that this cupboard will not run dry. It will not run dry. That account will not run dry. Those lights will stay on. The car payment will come in. That job will come in. Father, I want to praise you and give you all the glory. God, I thank you and act like it's done. I mean, act like it's done. In about a half hour, you'll get a test. This is a test. You didn't know it. Somebody will call you. How are you doing? Don't do it. Because the flesh loves the catharsis. It loves, it thinks venting helps. I don't know why. I've done it. You?
Yeah.
I've vented on people. Sometimes you can find a blood trail all the way through the church. People are wounded. They're bleeding. They bled on Terry. Bled on Marcia. Bled on Howard. How so? Well, they called them and just, I got to have a friend. I know, but every once in a while, and you hear that, oh, sometimes we just need flesh to hold us. And sometimes, you know, oh, come on. A friend is good. But who are you going to vent to any better than the Holy Spirit? I mean, sit down and commune with Him and just tell Him face to face. And then that call comes. Now you got, if you find yourself starting into it, oh, he didn't get his last week's paycheck and we're right on the verge of starvation and I don't know what we're going to, I bet you called. Stop it. Stop it right now. In fact, you'll say, well, they'll think that people will know. You don't even have to hide it. When you say this, and you're not even trying to put on a, when you say, the Word says, and if they're a seasoned Christian, they'll say, oop, they're in a battle right now. God bless them. They're in a fight. But I'm going to stand with them. And you just say, the Word says that I know the grace of my Lord Jesus. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. Yeah, but I'm talking about, how are you really? I'm telling you that the Word says, and if they ask you that three or four times, don't ever get off. Don't ever say, well, really? No, don't do that. And if they got any sense at all, they'll stop asking you foolish questions. They'll say, oh, they're in a fight. And they don't want their mouth to give them away. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I go to this church. Hallelujah. Why don't you just stand and worship God?